Good evening, and welcome to WPKN's Mic Check, coming to you on WPKN every Sunday at 5:30 p.m. Welcome to everyone listening at 89.5 FM on your radio dial. Welcome to everyone streaming live or tuning in to our podcast at WPKN.org. Each week on Mic Check, one of our roster of hosts present a wide range of topics for discussion, focusing on global, national, and regional issues and their effect on our local community. Just as the phrase mic check was used to mobilize people to create a human microphone during the Occupy movement, this weekly program seeks to amplify our community's many voices and bring them to the airwaves. Mic Check is followed on WPKN at 6 p.m. by another public affairs program, the Ralph Nader Radio Hour. I am honored to welcome tonight's guests, who are both joining me from the Center for Children's Advocacy, which has offices in Bridgeport and Hartford here in Connecticut. First is Patricia Mariali, JD, staff attorney of the Immigrant Children's Justice Project, and Amina Sial, JD of the Racial Justice Project and Harding High School Teen Legal Clinic. Patricia and Amina, welcome to Mic Check.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mike.
Thank you so much for being here tonight and doing the show.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, we're glad to be here tonight.
I'm very excited because of all the amazing work that the two of you do, and so I have so much I want to know, and so I'm just going to get right into it, if that's okay. I just wanted to know if the two of you could give an overview of how you were each drawn to the legal field, what drew you to the work that you're now engaged in.
Hey guys, this is Amina speaking. I think my entire life, you know, growing up as a Pakistani Muslim in Connecticut, I was always like very aware of, you know, racial issues and how they affected me and how they affected other people of color around me. And I always wanted to do something about that. And I was, you know, taking whatever action I could. And then at the end of undergrad, after college, I thought a lot about what ways I could kind of make a change in the racial justice area. And I, you know, wanted to do that through, you know, organizing, being out on the streets. And I also thought about how I could use the law to do that. And I know the law has always been something that kind of has been used to put people of color down. So for me, it's, going into legal field was not about upholding the law, but about challenging it and challenging the systems that exist. So that's what brought me to the legal field.
And hi, this is Patricia. And for me, similar to Amina, I've always been interested in just the law and like legal and public policy. And in high school, I did a lot of Model UN. I think I did them for like Model UN for Africa, for the European Union, and just the general one. And I really enjoyed it and kind of sparked my interest in, you know, just legal processes and systemic changes and so forth. And I came to emigrated to the United States. I'm originally from Tanzania. And out of undergrad, my first job was working as a clerk at a guardianship, doing guardianship and conservatorships on behalf of incapacitated adults and minors. And it was always so frustrating to me when I couldn't help families that came in to the court and just needed more help. And I think that's what sparked my, I guess, interest to fully pursue law and go and decide to apply to law school and go into law school. And just like also in addition, like going through the immigration process myself, like I had to, you know, I came in as on a visa and, you know, having to go through the entire process to become a legal permanent resident. It's been really tough and it was really challenging and there were so many obstacles. And and just going through it, I knew for a fact that I wanted to help other immigrants in this country who might not be as fortunate as I was to have a family that could support me and the background and education that I had coming into this. And so, yeah, so working with the Center for Children's Advocacy is like a dream.
Thank you all so much for sharing. And so it sounds like your life experiences really just obviously shaped who you are, but really shaped you to want to pursue the legal field specifically. And both,
yeah, definitely
coming from immigrant families too, essentially. Mm-hmm. So that's really powerful. Thank you for sharing. And now I was wondering if you could give an overview of the Center for Children's Advocacy in general.
Yeah, the Center for Children's Advocacy, its acronym is actually CCA. There are offices in Hartford, Bridgeport, and there's actually a medical legal partnership in New Haven placed out of Yale as well. But it's basically, it's youth-focused, children-focused, you can tell from the name. It's the largest children's nonprofit law firm in New England, actually, and it has so many different areas of the law that it works with to reach children, to reach the most vulnerable children in Connecticut. So CCA has a child abuse project, the medical legal partnership project that I mentioned, the immigrant children's justice project that Patricia is a part of, the racial justice project that I've been involved in for about a year and a half now, the teen legal clinic that I was also working in Harding High School this past year, the homeless youth advocacy project, the restorative justice project, the team child juvenile justice project, and the Speak Up initiative. So CCA does a lot. The attorneys are, you know, very dedicated, and you know, it's youth focused, but I think a lot of times that means that you're meeting with children and their families, you know, because if you're working on legal issues, that's always going to be with the family as well. But Patricia, if you want to add anything, like what I guess.
Yeah. And obviously, I mean, because we work with children, education. We do a lot of education law as well, both special education and for children who don't speak English. We do a lot of ELL work as well. You might have seen some articles. We were part of that whole Norwalk complaint that happened a few weeks ago. That was in partnership with CCA and another attorney. So we do a lot of advocacy, do a lot of systemic work, because we believe that it's great if, when you can help one person. So because we do the direct representation, but we also have to get to the root of the problems. And so systemic and legislative work is a big part of what the center does as well, a lot.
And I could mention, you know, because you brought up like special ed education law, the racial justice project, which I worked with for the past year and a half, it tries to tackle the school to prison pipeline. So that's using education law, or that's advocating for kids in the education law arena and in the juvenile justice system, because those two are actually very connected. And in the way that a lot of the schools are set up these days, especially in the cities of Connecticut, like Bridgeport, Hartford, New Haven, they're kind of structured in a way for children to kind of already be criminalized when they're walking into the doors of the classroom. So that the Racial Justice Project really kind of tries to tackle what's happening with the criminalization of Black and brown youth, both in schools and in court, and like how those two connect. And just want to give a shout out to Leon, attorney Leon Smith right now, if he's listening from Boston. He's who I started working with in the Racial Justice Project, and he actually started that project and taught me a lot while I worked with him. I really appreciate him.
Yeah, I can imagine that, because he was with Center for Children's Advocacy for like 10 years, or was that...
I believe it's like 5 or 6 years. Or 5,
okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know he was doing, Leon was doing incredible work here in Connecticut, and he's greatly missed.
Yeah, now he's actually the executive director of Citizens for Juvenile Justice in Boston. He's doing amazing policy work over there.
That's awesome. Yeah, Leon is amazing. Definitely very very a leader, very, yeah, always doing very powerful work. And I feel like I only got to be around him just like a handful of times. And I feel like I miss him a lot. So I can imagine that people who work directly with him frequently, you know, or, you know, and closely and people that knew him a lot better than I did, I'm sure really, really miss him. So shout out to Leon Smith.
Definitely.
And I just wanted to very quickly remind our listeners that you are listening to WPKN 89.5 FM in Bridgeport, serving Fairfield, New Haven, and Litchfield counties in Connecticut and Suffolk County in New York's Long Island. We stream around the world at WPKN.org, TuneIn Radio, Radio Free America, and WPKN's free app, WPKN Live. And more info on our WPKN podcast at WPKN.org. The name of this program is Mike Check, and I'm Mike Murley. And I'm joined in the studio this evening with two guests, Patricia Mariale, JD, staff attorney of the Immigrant Children's Justice Project, and Amina Sial, JD of the Racial Justice Project and Harding High School Teen Legal Clinic. And both Patricia and Amina are with the Center for Children's Advocacy, with offices in Bridgeport and Hartford, here in Connecticut. And so you've both been sharing so much and about the work that you do and about the Center for Children's Advocacy as a whole. And so, Patricia, I wanted to ask you now, because I know that you, specifically at CCA, you work with the Immigrant Children's Justice Project as a staff attorney. I was wondering if you could explain what the Immigrant Children's Justice Project is all about.
Certainly. So the Immigrant Children's Justice Project, or I'm going to refer to it as the ICJP, just to shorten it a little bit. So what I do is I provide representation to immigrant children and youth who are either at risk of or already in deportation proceedings. And I basically help them navigate that practically very convoluted, very impossible pathway to citizenship and legal status or legal status in the United States, and in collaboration with either community partners or school districts, we try and work together to provide additional help and resources for these youth so that they can succeed in school as well, and that they can get all the community service that they need, such as mental health screenings and healthcare, because a lot of the times they are in need of these services, and it's really hard for them to access them on their own many times. And so I try to work collaboratively with many key players to provide like a holistic representation of our clients.
Thank you. And so from day to day or week to week, do you feel like, I can imagine that there's a lot that you're, a lot of different things you're encountering, a lot of in terms of like representing a client or working on an individual case. Is there like, I was going to ask, what does a typical day look like for you? But there may be no typical day. Maybe that doesn't exist.
No, actually, that's one of the things I love about my job is that no day is the same, or no 2 days are ever the same. Just because the type of we do a lot of direct representation, so no two cases are ever the same. So, and it's very rare that I get the same scenario happen twice. But also, part of my job is to engage the community and other, like as I mentioned, service providers. So I do a lot of trainings, both in the community and with specific targeted organizations. I also do presentations to the youth, to parents, to school districts, to medical providers and healthcare coordinators. We also do a lot of clinics. I actually do two clinics down in Norwalk at the two high schools. Amina does one at Harding High School, so that's a big part of what CCA does. And then, obviously, the direct representation. So between all those, when you put it all together, it's not never two days are never the same. Also, additionally, I... The ICJP has a pro bono attorney network that I run, and these are attorneys that we have trained over the years, and they help us with the overflow because we get so many cases. We're inundated with cases on a daily basis, and we can't handle them all in-house. So we've trained some attorneys, and they help us with this overflow, and I provide technical assistance and so forth. And so it's a busy day every day, but it's always good.
And it's interesting because you do just focus on youth primarily, because that's the point of the Center for Children's Advocacy.
Yes.
It's all about children and youth. And so it's not like it's focusing on everyone, or all ages, but it's, you know, and I think that's really interesting and very, very powerful that the organization is dedicated specifically to addressing the needs of young people.
Yes.
I just have a question for Patricia. when you are running like the clinics in the high schools, do children who are facing immigration issues feel like, are they aware of like, or how do I frame it? Do they feel like comfortable talking to someone about like these very difficult immigration issues?
Yes.
Yeah.
They do, because a lot of the times I go into the school, I have a set schedule, I'll be there from a certain time, and then the teachers, and we have flyers all around the school, and the teachers just let the students know that there's an immigration attorney, she's going to be here on this day. If you have issues, you come and talk to them. So a lot of the youth that do come and seek me out are usually willing to talk about the difficult situations that they're going through, and they usually genuinely need help and want help. And so we usually have a very, we can usually have a very frank and honest conversation and very open. Mm-hmm. And obviously, because it's protected by client, you know, attorney confidentiality, it usually puts them at ease to open up and really talk to me about what's going on.
Yeah, I have a similar experience with the Teen Legal Clinic and Harding High School as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can imagine for both of you, and in general when it comes to legal work, like just having that trust is such a huge thing, but especially I can imagine with immigration law and with youth, I can imagine especially it must be like hard for them to find that trust sometimes, or to feel like they can trust someone. So it definitely speaks a lot to the work that you do, that that they have that trust in you, and you know,
certainly,
you're able to like to work with them and advocate for them. And I was gonna, you know, I was curious if there were, because I know obviously it's a legal, you know, you do legal work, but I was wondering if there's a way, and you know, without, I guess, and maybe keeping it anonymous, or if there's a way for you to talk about some victories or some specific cases where you felt like you made a huge impact, or if it was like a sort of a community impact where CCA and partner organizations, you know, worked together to bring about like a positive outcome in a particular case.
I'll focus more, not so much on a case, but on a recent systemic victory that was that will have and already has had a very big impact on Connecticut's immigrant youth. And I never mentioned before, but my type of the immigration that I practice with the Center for Children's Advocacy is called Special Immigrant Juvenile Status, or SIJS. And for the longest time, the federal standard or requirements for qualifications for that SIJS and the state ones were different in the sense that the federal laws allowed for youth under the age of 21 to qualify for it. But under state laws, because they have to go through a probate or family court or other court, juvenile court, youth had to be under the age of 18 in order to get the special findings to proceed to a visa. And for the longest time, there was always this discrepancy where youth who were 18, 19, 20 were eligible for this status under federal law, but couldn't get it under state law because they had aged out of most juvenile courts. Like, those are the probate courts, the family courts, the juvenile courts. And so for the longest time, that was a big issue because you had all these youth who could get the status but couldn't have access to it. And so CCA, along with a couple of other community collaborators, passed legislation. It took a couple of years, but they fought for it and they passed legislation. So now Connecticut laws, effective July of last year, now allow for SIJS findings in probate court for all youth under the age of 21. Not all states do this. Only a handful of other states have this law. So that was a huge victory for Connecticut's youth. And we've already been filing these cases. CCA filed one of the first ones in the state and got one of the first findings. And so it's been amazing. And just to give you perspective, like, we had a family come to CCA, I think, but right before I joined CCA, and CCA was able to help the sister because she was under 18, but couldn't help the brother because he was over 18. And then last year, in December, I was able to reach out to the family, and the brother, who was now 19 years old, we were able to bring him back and actually help him. So, like, things like that are just amazing. Like, stories like that, you just make it, give you a lot of, things to be happy about.
Yeah, that's incredible. Congratulations on that to you all, everyone at CCA, and all of your community collaborators on making that happen. Because that's that's a huge deal.
Yeah, it's a big win.
And like you said, to be able to have that tangible impact where you were able to, to help someone who wasn't able to, you weren't really able to help the brother until, after.
Yeah.
And yeah, you must have felt good about that.
Yeah, it felt really, really good just to be able to connect with the family again and be like, hey, guess what? There's, all our efforts, like CCA's efforts, have paid off. We have this new law and we can now help you. Like, the mother was so grateful. It's always such a good feeling to be able to deliver such good news to your family.
That's awesome. Amina, do you have, not to put you on the spot, but I was wondering if you had a moment like that, a victory, or just a moment that you think about sometimes from your work at with CCA.
Yeah, I think a lot about one case that I worked on when Leon was still working with CCA, where we had a student who was facing expulsion because she had brought a knife to school. But if you backtrack, which is what we do, we create a timeline and talk to the student. We found that she was a student who had disabilities. She had mental health issues, she had disabilities and mental health issues, and she was being bullied. And whenever she went to, school counselors, school administrators, to talk to them about what was happening, she was just told to be the bigger person, or, that she's better than that and she should just stay away from that other student. But she was the one that was, she couldn't be comfortable and feel safe in her own school environment. And then when she did something to try to defend herself, when she was feeling threatened and was not being kept safe by the school, then she was criminalized. She was the one being expelled, and she was arrested for having the knife in school. So what we were able to do talk to the school about how they basically failed her, how they did not respond to her in the ways that Connecticut law actually requires schools to respond to bullying incidents. And they also... because she had disabilities, the law actually mandates that they do more to protect those students, because those students are more vulnerable and are more at risk for feeling unsafe in school. So when the school didn't respond, that was basically what we kind of shared with them, that they failed her on their part. And through that process, we were able to make sure that she wasn't expelled, but rather we got her moved to a school that met her therapeutic needs more. But if we weren't there to do that, she would have basically been stuck in the juvenile justice system and had an expulsion on her record, which stays with you through the entire her entire high school career. So that felt like a win.
Yeah, that's so powerful. And I'm sure that she is happier now in not being in that situation anymore.
She definitely had a year ahead of her. Or, I mean, when we followed up with her later that year, she was able to do well and feel more comfortable in her new school.
That's awesome. So I wish we had more time. It's always like, you know, really interesting how fast half an hour flies by. And so really quickly, I wanted to ask Patricia, what are some ways that our listeners could learn more about and support the Immigrant Children's Justice Project?
Yeah, definitely. The best way would be to go online to our webpage, and that is cca-ct.org. And there is a wealth of information on there about what we do, who we are, and just ways to get involved. CCA is always looking for volunteers, you can find all that information on our webpage. You can follow us on Facebook. We have a Twitter and a Instagram as well, so you can find us on all those platforms. And also, currently CCA is running a donation campaign. It's called Give It Up, Get a Cup. And it's basically, you know, if anyone's willing to give up one cup of coffee a week and make that a donation towards CCA, we are trying to raise $5,000 for the month of August. And that's going to go through to all projects, including mine. And so that's the way to support us, because we are a nonprofit law firm. So a lot of our donors make everything that we do possible. So there's a wealth of information on our webpage. And again, that's cca-ct.org.
Thank you, Patricia. And the offices are located in Bridgeport and Hartford. Is that correct?
That is correct. We have offices in Bridgeport and Hartford. We have a medical legal partnership project in Yale and Hartford. I believe it's Hartford Hospital.
Okay. And then with the offices in Bridgeport and Hartford, could people, if they have legal issues or if they have concerns, could they just walk in and speak with someone?
Yeah, definitely. They can walk in. They can walk in, or they can call the number. But we do it both ways.
Okay, and then of course the information on the addresses and everything for the offices, of course, is going to be on the website as well.
Yes,
and our emails as well.
Yeah, and there's email. And we do you want? Can I tell you?
Absolutely. Yeah.
So in Bridgeport, we're at 211 State Street. And then in Hartford, it's 2074 Park Street.
Great. Yeah, I know the Bridgeport office is right downtown. So it's super, super convenient.
Oh, and if anyone wants to reach the Racial Justice Project, they can email me at acl@cca-ct.org. Or email the new attorney, Sam Rivera, at srivera@cca-ct.org.
Awesome. And that's A-S-E-Y-A-L, right?
Yes, A-S-E-Y-A-L at cca-ct.org.
Awesome. And so thank you both so much, Patricia Mariale, J.D., Staff Attorney of the Immigrant Children's Justice Project, and Amina Sial, J.D. of the Racial Justice Project and Harding High School Teen Legal Clinic. Patricia and Amina, both with the Center for Children's Advocacy, a nonprofit organization law firm here in Connecticut with offices in Bridgeport and Hartford, doing work around a number of issues all related to children and young people. Patricia and Amina, thank you both so much for being on tonight.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you, and have a wonderful night.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. This has been Mike Check, and I'm Mike Murley. Up next is the Ruffinated Radio Hour right here on WPKN 89.5 FM in Bridgeport. and it is now 6 p.m.